At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Quinn and Chris program rolling into hour number two of our Tuesday get-together. Chris, hello. Along with Scraby, Uncle Scraby, he's back. After a little hiatus, Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at Petco Park, where tonight, game two, Padres and the Metropolitans. Don't forget, first 40,000 fans tonight will receive a sandless beach towel. You can use it as a blanket. It's been, it's still getting chilly at night, so it'd be a good night to get the blanket, I think. Make sure you get there early, early enough to be one of the 40,000. They get the giveaway item. Gates open an hour and a half before the 6:40 first pitch. That first pitch will be thrown by Ryan Burgert. Tony, I'm going to say this in jest, but if he doesn't get traded before then, his name has been mentioned quite a bit as somebody.
For good reason.
Another team might be interested. So he'll pitch tonight unless something happens. Sean Manaea, guy that we're all pretty familiar with. If this isn't Sean Manaea's fault, Tony, he didn't do this on purpose or anything, but I always kind of just have a bit of a negative on Sean Manaea because the 1 year in the big leagues that he hasn't been Sean Manaea was the year he was here. You know, he's been really good the rest of the time. He was really good with Oakland. He's been really good with the Mets, but the Padres, 4.96 ERA. In 2022. He'll make the start tonight. After he missed most of the season due to injury, I think it's only his third start of the year, fourth game of the year tonight for Manaea.
I have to ask why Tony was slowly shaking his head back and forth.
Yeah, because why were you slow?
Because
I didn't see you.
I wasn't really shaking my head. I was just kind of thinking out loud in my head.
Well, I'm being a fan. I'm Chris being a fanboy when I say that. I am.
Well, no, it's not even that you're being a fanboy. Chris often hates players. Hates a strong word. Dislikes players that don't perform for the Padres the 1 year here, a la Juan Soto, a la
Well, Soto
Manaea.
Performed better than Manaea did, be honest with you.
No, he definitely did.
Yeah. Manaea also said that he didn't try as hard here. So I think
that's not what he was meaning, Scrape. Stop it. You know that.
We've been over this before. Looked up and played
saying,
the audio.
I'm not...
Uh-oh.
I can't with
Let's
you
go
too.
Over it again. I kind of want to hear this.
Oh, no. Now I got to go find it again.
No, don't find the audio. All right. Look, Manaea pitched tonight. Did Soto get any reaction when he came to the plate last night, Tony?
Every time he got booed.
He did get booed.
Mercifully. Yes.
Mercifully. That's because people listen. That's because people listen to this show. That's why. They want to. Why doesn't everybody else like him? You should like him.
I just him. Think
he led you to the playoffs.
He's easy to hate. He's confident. He's really good. And probably the thing that pisses everybody off more than anything else is he makes a ton of money. He makes a ton of money. He's confident, bordering on arrogant.
Yeah.
And he's really good. Those are usually things that make people hate
you. Make people hate you. All right. Well, he'll be back tonight. Manaea will be back. If you want to hate him, you can mix it up tonight. As the Padres and Mets get together.
A couple moves real quick I can inform you guys
on
as I wait for the lineup to pop. Mm-hmm. Stephen Kolick optioned for Burgert, who will make the start tonight.
Okay.
And the other side over there, Brazoban, the young man who came in and gave it up for the Mets yesterday.
Oh, Beelzebub is what I kept calling him last night. Barbacoa, I kept getting his name wrong.
My goodness.
Barbacoa, huh? That's what you came up with?
What's his actual name?
Brazoban.
It's Waskar Brazoban.
Yes.
He's definitely in the Harry Potter universe, for sure.
Anyway, he was sent out, option to AAA after the game. Chris Devinsky signed a one-year major league deal with the Mets, so he'll be in that bullpen tonight.
Very good, Tony. I wanted to, well, first of all, we should also mention, get your thoughts too. Michael King threw that sim game yesterday, and that was a big deal. I mean, that was almost as big a deal as the Padres winning the game last night. To have, you know, King go out, throw well, you know, come back, report that he felt 100% out there, and says, you know, he feels, anyway, like he's on track to get back, you know, here in the next couple of weeks, early in August. I mean, I know that there are going to be some trades between now and Thursday, but you're not going to get a bigger pickup than Michael King coming back.
No, I 100% agree. This is like a deadline move, especially if he's going to come first week of August. So, I may have been alone in this. I'm not sure. I haven't really asked or had the conversation with anybody, but I've always expected him to come back at some point. Didn't really put a timeline on it because I knew we were dealing with something that was unusual. And so here we are, fast forward to however many months later, throwing a live sim game, reported feeling 100%. You got to think barring a setback, it's just an uphill, it's all gravy from here.
I hope so. That's a big deal for the Padres, and we'll keep an eye on it if we hear anything more, but everything good?
I think he's on. When a guy goes out and throws like he threw yesterday and then reports that he's feeling good and they allow him to report that, I think everything is moving in the right direction.
Yes, very good. All right, so Berger tonight, that puts Darvish back to tomorrow. I thought Buster Olney, who always has, you know, informative things with us in our interview, interesting on his note that Bryce Harper attacking, or at least, you know, getting in the face of the commissioner, is speaking for maybe Bryce Harper and other really rich players a whole lot more than he's speaking for everybody in Major League Baseball. So I wanted to get a little further into your thoughts on that, Tony. And, you know, Rob Manfred is, according to an Instagram post that just came down, this is why he's going around to all these teams. He wants to try to talk to the rank and file, and he's trying to get the word across that maybe this is going to have to be the way it goes, despite the protests of people like Bryce Harper. I mean, is that right, or what do you think?
I think there's a difference between wanting to talk to the rank and file and wanting to talk to guys who are uninformed.
Okay.
Because they're not always one and the same.
Yeah.
And I do think Buster's on to something, that the way for the union to spearhead this effort is to get out in front and talk about it. And so, you know, we listen to Foul Territory quite often, A.J. Pierzynski. And those guys were talking about it. I think we have the sound kind of pointing out kind of what they think is kind of behind Rob Manfred and his attempts here.
Rob Manfred is trying to get to the informed player. He's getting to the uninformed players, and he's getting to the people who Major League Baseball are calling up. 52% of the league has less than 3 years of service. Of the guys with more than 3 years of service, 52% of them never make it to free agency. So that whole group, that's who he's talking about. The guys that make it to free agency, he's not talking to them. He's talking to the majority in the clubhouses. So he's bringing those guys in and being like, hey, guy with a year of service, just coming in here to talk about how we can make you guys more money. And that guy's like, sure, I can use more money.
Rob doesn't do anything by accident. It's almost like with the owners and the players. Why can't we just get to the middle? And everyone says we want to grow the game. We do, but why can't we get it together? Instead, it's like, we got to do this, right? Like, why can't we just meet in the middle somewhere?
And so that speaks to a lot of what I think Rob Manfred is trying to do. But, and here's where, you know, I just think that, and I don't know, maybe I need to talk to some of the younger guys to see how much they actually do know, but it appears as if they aren't being given the information that is, have to be willing to show what they have in their hands. For a long time, one side has not been willing to show what they have on their side. And because of that, this is years and years now, this is going back to 70s, 80s. Because of that, there's like a built-in distrust between the players.
Yes, there's always that.
The owners.
Yeah.
Not to mention, they've already been hit over the head in court for collusion once before. So all of that stuff is thrown into the pot as you are trying to get to some mid-ground there for both sides. We're 2 years out. Just having been around for a lot of these things, there ain't going to be no negotiations until basically there's a lockout. That's typically how these things work. There may be some discussions before that, but nothing really gets done. And Chris, maybe you can speak to a time before I was around. Nothing really gets done until that move is made first.
Never seen it happen. Seen it happen. I get this came just in, and I don't want to go too quick because Scrape, look at this.
What in the world
come
is
over
happening?
Here, well, come over here and look at this, and tell me whether you think I should mention it. Oh no, never mind. Never mind.
Now I gotta see it.
No, don't look at it.
Now I gotta see it.
I didn't see. I saw something I thought I didn't see. Never mind. I'm glad I didn't
see.
See,
this is why we. This is why it's good to have partners right there.
Well, there was a word that I didn't see, and I thought it said there was a trade made. It was a mock trade idea, and I didn't see that.
So over mock trade season.
No kidding, man. Train. Stop with those. Yeah.
So over mock trade.
I'm just glad I didn't say it because I would have had people driving off the road, and that wouldn't have
I
been
think
good.
Mock trade should not be allowed to be put into publications.
Stop
once
it,
we're
people.
Like on the week of the trade.
I agree.
When everything could actually happen.
I got a DM from someone while I was on the trip, and it was like, should the Padres do this? And it was the Padres get Adley Rutschman, but they give up like a number 8, you know, number like 25 prospect and a number 40 prospect. I'm like, it's not going to happen. And if it does, it's going to make me look like an idiot, but I'll accept it. But it's not going to happen.
You'll step out on that ledge.
I will step out on the ledge that Adley Rutschman is going to go for two guys that are in the Arizona Fall League. It's just not going to happen, guys.
Jaron Duran? Coming to the Padres, what do they got to give up for him, do you think?
You're not asking.
Well, I can tell you what it's not. I can tell you what they're not going to give up to get.
I guess Dylan Cease. If they didn't want Dylan Cease and Ethan Salas, I don't think we're getting Jaron Duran. So, anyway. Well, all right, it's all going to play out over the next couple of weeks. Tony, I know you got to roll. I'll see you down at the game tonight. I'm going to pop in, say hello. Enjoy the rest of it. We'll have Tony back for a Big Five later and more Gwen and Chris coming up after traffic. Tony coming back in a little bit for our Big Five. Right now, headed down to talk to Mike Schilt, get the latest and the greatest. Padres, Mets tonight. 97.3 The Fan's coverage, MLB trade deadline. Brought to you by Palomar Health. I almost had a heart attack there a few minutes ago when I said, thank goodness I didn't report that trade because it hadn't happened.
You going to share it with us?
No.
Okay.
Champions of healthcare, that is Palomar Health. They are champions for you. I thought it said that the trade has been made. And I missed the word mock trade. Good thing I didn't just blab it out. But everybody wants to, you know, be the first with a trade thing right now. And what'd you say? It's gotcha season.
It's gotcha season.
It really is. So you got to be careful. We'll let you know if the Padres, you know, do pull the trigger, or if anybody for that man. In fact, you know what? I'm not going to use that term anymore.
What?
I just decided. In the wake of the shooting in Manhattan yesterday at the NFL offices, I think the term pull the trigger ought to be taken off the board for a while.
What?
Just do.
What makes this one different?
I don't know. Pull the trigger? I think, you know, guys are, I don't know.
I actually had this conversation on my vacation.
Real that
not
exact
well,
phrase?
That was brought up, okay. But it was like, why can't we use expressions like that without being offended? Because
I didn't say I'm
everybody
offended.
Pulled the trigger. Everybody knows what pull the trigger means in the application that we're using.
I know they do, but I'm not offended by it. I'm just saying I think I can choose my words more wisely.
Okay, that's fine.
That's all. Right.
That's.
I'm not saying
good.
I'm offended.
Okay.
You want to say it? Go ahead.
Right.
I just made a deal with myself there.
I gotcha.
That I'm going to try not to use that phrase.
That's definitely different.
In the wake of what we saw yesterday and what we keep seeing, unfortunately. And if you didn't hear the gunman there in New York, according to the mayor, said that the gunman was indeed targeting the NFL offices. and took the wrong elevator and ended up on a different floor. But
wait, say that one more time.
Did you not hear any of this?
No, I saw it while I was driving yesterday.
Okay, there was a gunman yesterday in Manhattan.
Yes, I knew all this. I knew it was the NFL headquarters.
He killed four people and then killed himself.
Oh, my gosh.
And the investigators now are saying that the guy who did this was trying to get to the NFL offices, but ended up on the wrong elevator. And so he went to a different floor. He couldn't get to the NFL offices. And fortunately for that, there's no good fortune here at all. Four people died, but he obviously never got to the NFL offices.
I think they're a little
there's more
bit
to this story,
protected.
But I'm sure they are. In fact, I saw Coy Wire is his name. He played for the Bills back in the day. He's now a reporter at CNN. He said he's been to the NFL offices. He says it's almost impossible for somebody to get in.
I would assume so. Do we know why this person did this? And why they just decided to shoot a random office instead of his target?
Yes, I'll tell you. Well, he didn't shoot an office. The people he killed, I think three of the four were down in the lobby when he walked in the building.
Oh, my goodness.
He went up to the wrong floor. I think he shot somebody up there once he realized. Then he shot himself. There was a note, and he said that he was sorry. He said,
What? Okay.
Let me finish.
I know, I'm sorry.
All right? Get all this, and then
I'm turning off my microphone.
All right, he said that he was sorry. He said he asked that his brain be studied for CTE. He's only 27 years old. He said that he was upset with the NFL because they have been doing their best to hide the fact that the NFL leads to CTE. I'm not saying what he, no one's going to say what he did was right. People like to understand what's going through these people's mind. He had mental health issues. All right.
And I do sympathize with that.
He did. And he's, the NFL always has denied the link between CTE and football. And this guy, I guess, was fed up with it. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, I mean, I feel for what he was going through in his head, but I cannot feel people that are just randomly going to work. And this guy, like, you're sorry, but yeah, I know there's no breaking down this statement. It's just really sad all the way around. But
yeah, when they start showing the pictures of the people on TV today who were shot senselessly and killed, definitely hits the mark. I mean, these are real people. These aren't just names. These aren't just four people who were killed. They're people that had families, sons, daughters, wives, husbands.
See, and I know I'm reasoning with someone who can't be reasoned with, but there's so many different ways to go about this other than just going to the NFL offices and shooting random people. Like,
he had there was a three-page note found in his wallet.
Well, at least there was some explanation, I guess. You kind of know what the motivation was, but it doesn't make anything better.
This young man, 27 years old, played, apparently, high school football in California a decade ago. Never played in the NFL. Has had a history of mental illness. That's the whole... Anyway, I spent more time on this than I intended to. But I guess this is why, when I'm reading this, and it's right in front of me on the screen, and I'm seeing the pictures of people who died, I'm saying to myself, why am I using the phrase pull the trigger? I just don't think it was appropriate at this moment.
Okay. I agree with it.
All right. If the Padres make a trade, we'll let you know.
With all that said, if the Padres make a trade, we'll let you know.
Yeah. Daily Gambit. I was the only one who picked yesterday, Scrabe. But I went 5-1-1. Had a good day. So let's get a couple of quick picks in right here before the bottom of the
hour.
I know. Hold on. Daily Gambit.
Let's just go into it because I deleted it, so I have to go find it.
All right. Mets, 8.5 runs, Padres.
Mets?
I didn't read that very well.
That was like caveman talk.
Yeah. The 8.5 runs total over under for the game tonight. Last night there was 13 scored. What you got?
Sean Manaea is going to give up about 5 runs. So I'm going to go over.
You're going to go over. I'm just going to go with the odds and say under. Although I'm happy to see the Padres starting to score. Manaea over under 4.5 strikeouts. Say under.
Four and
a half. Bad mouthed him a little earlier. I'm going to stay with this.
Yeah, I'm going to go under two.
Okay. Who has more total bases tonight? Juan Soto or the red blazing hot Manny Machado? Manny had two total bases last night. Soto had none.
I got to say, I thought it was quite hilarious when he argued the first at bat, but the second time was horrible. He definitely should have argued that because it was way too high of a pitch for
that umpire was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. Night. I didn't mind him getting into it in the second one, but I was sitting there watching with someone. We're like, why aren't you throwing him out? He has done this twice now. Why are you letting him get away with murder over here?
I think that was a bad phrase, by the way. Right, bad phrase, bad
timing. Very bad phrase.
Yeah, I think the umpire realized that it was just a terrible call. And he couldn't throw Soto out.
He just let him do it.
Yeah, he's like, that was bad. You're right to argue.
I'm going
to
go Manny Machado.
I got to stick with the red hot NL batting leader, Manny. Six consecutive games of two or more hits. Dodgers -1.5 at Reds. Adam and I argued about this last night, so I'll get your thoughts.
What? Whoa, wow.
Well, here's the argument. Dodgers are 5 ahead of the Padres, but Padres are 2 ahead of the Reds for the wild card.
Ah.
I said last night I was rooting for the Dodgers. Adam said that's horrible. That's blasphemous. But I want to get into the playoffs more than anything else, so I need the Reds to lose.
I get your thought process.
Okay.
My thought process is it's going to be really hard to hang on to that last wild card spot because there's four teams that are vying for two division titles. And so if the Dodgers lose, that gets them closer to the division. So I would
You're
cheer
still
going to
root against the Dodgers.
Yes. I'm going to cheer for the Reds because if the Padres can get a little bit closer in the division, it will make it a little bit easier. Maybe the division's within reach. But I was looking at the standings last night. It is just backed up with good teams at the top of the National League right now.
Okay, the Padres are 4 games behind the Dodgers. They're also 2.5 behind the Phillies, which is the next wild card team. So, you know, as it sits now, the last wild card is what they're going to get. And I want to stay ahead of the Reds. All right, who are you picking here after all that? Reds +1.5?
Yeah, I'm going to go Reds.
I'm going to take the Reds, too. I think they're the bet tonight because Lodolo's pitching. He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei, 2.5. Over-under, runs, hits, RBIs. I'm going to say over. Shohei's been on fire just like Machado has been. 2.5 runs, hits, plus RBIs.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's on fire right now.
He's just so
But if he hits
good.
A home run, yeah, that would be enough. That would be one of each, so he'd have 3.
That is a, what do they call it, a bandbox?
Cincy? Yeah, it is.
I'm going to go over.
Over. All right, a little WNBA tonight. Las Vegas -2 at the Sparks up in L.A. Sparks are playing a little better. They're up to 11-14. Las Vegas slumping at 13-13. I'll take the Sparks at home, getting 2 points.
When's Cameron? I know Cameron
I think
Brink
tonight.
Was okay.
I think tonight
she was cleared. To,
yes, but I don't know for sure.
Side note: we're going to talk about Happy Gilmore too in the Big Five. Kelsey Plum cameo.
Did she? Good. Yeah. She's going to get a mention in a minute. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go Sparks.
Sparks. All right. Asia Wilson -5, or Kelsey Plum points in that game.
Hmm.
Asia plays for Las Vegas. Plum plays for the Sparks.
Who are you going, Asia
or Plum?
-5 is a lot. I'm going to go Plum.
Plum +5. I'm going to go Kelsey for sure. I always go for my pal Terry Banford and La Jolla Country Day people. Angel Reese, 12.5 rebounds for Chicago tonight. That is her season average. She's returning from injury.
Mm.
So she'll be
limited?
No. I think she'll get a lot more knee bounds than she normally does. That's what they call it when Angel Reese throws it.
It is a pretty brilliant
name. It's kind of funny,
name.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under.
Under for Angel. Okay, we'll take a break. When we return, Fantabulous Sports Game Show!
Does Tony know what happened last time?
We'll inform him. Tony, I mentioned he's coming back for the Big Five. He's also back for the Fantabulous, which is coming right up. It should be a fun one on Gwen and Chris. I guess we got a lineup. Let's get to it. Gwynn and Chris, Padres, Mets. Looks very similar to last night's, Scrabe.
Why not?
Yeah, good lineup last night. Although, Gavin Sheets, not in the lineup tonight, not starting. Jose Iglesias will be in the sixth spot. And Iglesias is playing third base tonight, which gives Manny a night off his feet. Manny will be the DH. Otherwise, the same. Tatis, Arise, Machado, Merrill, Bogarts, Iglesias, Cronenworth, Bryce Johnson. By the way, he's hitting 363 or something.
You know, we talked about him a couple weeks ago, and we're like, you know, he's doing well, but he's really not a game changer. But last night he was.
Yeah, he's not a game changer. That's a good way to put it. But, man, if he gets a hit every time up, yeah, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Diaz, last night's hero, is batting ninth. All right, Tony's ready to roll. Last 2 weeks, Scraby took on a listener in the Fantabulous Game Show, but Tony Gwynn Jr. has returned to try to reclaim his spot as Fantabulous Game Show champion. After traffic, he'll get that chance.
Hey, all you beautiful people out there. It's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right!
We like to call it...
Ooh, I'm gonna go...
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show! And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome into the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Tony, while you were traveling last couple of weeks, don't know if you were aware, but we had a guest players come on, listeners, played against Scraby in the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. 2 weeks ago, Scraby was able to eke out a win. Last week, he lost to John in Murrieta, the former John in Temecula. Yeah, so John in Murrieta is currently the champion right now. Yeah. So he is the champ of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. But you guys will get the title back, one of you today. And I had to make a concession for today's category, but I was willing to do it for the good of the game. And what we're going to do today, guys, is we are going to celebrate the 17 greatest single season performances in Padre history.
Oh, gosh.
And we're going to do that by asking you guys in today's category to name the 17 different Padre players who have had a 6-plus season in the WAR category.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is the concession for me because, you know, I don't even like the WAR category. But according to WAR, these are the 6 greatest single seasons. I'm sorry, the 17 greatest single season performances. Now, 16 guys have done it once, and one Padre had 3 6-plus WAR seasons. You probably can guess who that one is. But we're going to go back and forth, and you guys are going to try to name the 17 greatest Padre single season performances. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, there's only a couple of them that are really out there.
Just hitters or pitchers involved?
Pitchers, hitters, with a 6-plus WAR. And I'll give you one more quick thing, if you want to make this note. There's one first baseman. There's one second baseman. There's one guy who played shortstop. There are 4 third basemen. There are 3 outfielders. And there are 7 pitchers, and all 7 are starting pitchers.
No catchers?
No catchers, and no relief pitchers.
Just mark that one off.
So you can put out Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, just mark that one off,
yeah,
too.
No matter what Trevor ever did, he never had a 6.0 WAR.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there's the category today.
All right.
Scrape, you want to go first or let Tony go first? You got to get to 9 to win.
I'll just go first.
Go ahead, Scrape.
I'm sorry, Tony. I'm going to take your dad.
Take your dad. Take him off the board. He's the only one who did it more than once. He did it in 1984, 1986. And Tony's greatest season, according to WAR, was the 1987 season, believe it or not. He had an 8.6 WAR that year, which is pretty darn good. Hit 370 that season. Andre Dawson ended up winning the MVP award that year. And if you're wondering out there, in Tony's 394 season, his WAR was only 4.2. So somebody please explain to me.
Because it was a short season, maybe?
Maybe because it was a shorter season, but yeah, that's crazy to me. All right, Tony, you're up as Scraby gets on the board. A great Padres season.
I got a good strategy for this.
All right.
Tony's going to mop the floor with me.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I know I'm a little deeper than Scraby is. So I'm going to go ahead and take Toddy off the board.
Fernando Tatis Jr. did it in 2021. He had a 6.6 that year. That was the year he led the league in home runs with 42. He finished third in the MVP balloting to Bryce Harper and Juan Soto. All right, so we are tied at one. Scraby, give me a player with a 6+ WAR.
Manny Machado.
Manny Machado did it only once, but he did do it in 2022. 6.8 that year. That was the year he finished second in the MVP voting to Paul Goldschmidt. So Scraby has two, Tony has one, and it is Tony's turn. Tony, who you got?
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell.
He's taking all the guys I actually know.
That's what he's trying to do, it seems like. Blake Snell is the last Padre to reach a 6.0 WAR. 2023, his Cy Young season, he was a 6.5. The amazing thing that I'll never forget about that season for Blake Snell, the first and only guy to win the Cy Young and lead the league in walks with 99. That still is boggles my mind that he was able to do that. All right, we're tied.
Strikeouts and walks.
Right, let in strikeouts and walks. You're right, Tony. Yeah. All right, 2-2. No strikes yet. 13 correct answers. Padres with a 6+ WAR season.
I'm going to go back in time a little bit.
A little bit, all right.
If I could turn back time to Kevin Brown.
Kevin Brown. That's a great guess.
I hate when he says that.
Well,
he's looking through his list.
No, because
maybe how you know this one, dude?
Well, because 1998, everybody calls him the Bulldog.
I'm suspicious of you, buddy.
Everybody calls him the Bulldog.
He blew it out that year. He had an 8.6, tying your dad for the greatest single season performance in Padre history.
We've talked about it on the roundtable many times.
Kevin Brown was dominant that year. 18-7, 2.38 ERA. And Scraby takes a 3-2 lead. The reason I couldn't find him is because I did my list differently, and I was looking for him. Tony, you're up.
Chase Headley.
Chase Headley's a good guess. Chase Headley's highest single season WAR was 3.9, except for 2012 when he was 6.4. It's made no sense. He led the league in RBIs that year with 115. That is correct. It also takes a third baseman off the board. I will also tell you, Fernando takes the shortstop off the board.
Oh, okay.
He's the only shortstop ever to do it because the year he did it, he was a shortstop.
Oh, man, you just feel the move Fernando to shortstop, people.
Well, that's for them to do later on. All right, 3-3. Scraby, you're up with 11 correct answers left.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Adrian Gonzalez. Very good, Scraby. You're holding your own there.
I was alive here in San Diego for
6.9 in 2009. Had 119 walks that year for a 407 on base. What a season, and that takes your first baseman away, and it is now 4-3 Scraby. All right, Tony, with 10 correct answers remaining, Padres with a 6+ WAR season.
Jake Peavy.
Did he do it? He did in 2007. He won the Cy Young Award that year, so you would think he did it. 6.2. Had 19 wins and also led the league with 240 Ks. Jake Peavy is correct. There are four pitchers left, and there are five position players left. You got 9 correct answers to go with a 4-4 tie. Padres with a 6+ WAR season. Scraby, I'm impressed with you so far. Thought you'd be struggling.
Five position players. How many pitchers?
Four left. Four pitchers. Five position players right now.
I'm going to try to take the second baseman.
All right.
Mark Loretta.
Mark Loretta is the only second baseman who did it. He had exactly a 6.0
right on the nose.
2004. Loretta hit .335 that year.
No.
Scraby.
No.
Are you screaming?
Hey,
are
guess
you
what?
Cheating, Scraby?
Guess what, guys? I actually listened throughout the years of these names.
Oh, yeah, right. We'll see. I don't believe
it. Well, I mean,
antennas.
Just wait until we get to the end. I got nothing going on.
Well, you got the lead right now, 5-4. Loretta.
I can't believe you know this many.
Loretta, yeah, I'm a little surprised, too. He's doing very well.
Thanks for admitting that you thought I was definitely going to lose this category.
Well, you said at the beginning you were going to do terrible. 5-4, Tony looking again to tie it up with a Padre with a 6+ WAR season. And it is?
Gary Sheffield.
Yeah, Sheffield, 1992, with a brilliant year. Led the league in batting that year, .330. Finished third in the MVP balloting that year to Barry Bonds, and Terry Pendleton finished second ahead of Sheffield that year. That takes one of the third basemen. So here's what you have left. You have an outfielder, another outfielder, a third baseman, and then four pitchers. And they're all starters, remember that. And I will say, of the seven remaining, there's no question that you've heard of at least four of them, maybe five, maybe six. There is one guy that I don't think anybody could get. So I'm just telling you in advance.
I already know who that one is.
All right, we'll see.
Trying to think of our Party Like It's 1998 segment.
1998.
All right, it's my turn, right?
Yeah, tied at five. You got seven correct answers remaining. You're holding your own. No strikes yet. Padres with a six-plus war season.
I'm not going to try to be cute here. Randy Jones.
Randy Jones did it. Yes, very good, Scraby. Randy in 7.5 in his Cy Young season of 1975.
I'm feeling charged.
That is correct. Scraby, 6-5 lead. Holding together
this
here.
This is where things fall apart. This is where things fall apart.
I'm shocked by this. There are six correct answers remaining. Padres with a 6-plus war. Tony. Guys haven't
Dave
missed
Winfield.
One yet. Dave Winfield, very good. Yeah, did you know that one, Scrib?
Yes, I'm crossing it off the list.
Yeah, Dave Winfield was the first Padre ever to do it in 1979. It took 10 years for a Padre to do it, but Winfield had an 8.3 that year. He finished third in the MVP balloting to Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez honor that year. Winfield, a great Padre indeed. So it is 6-6, five correct answers, four pitchers, and one position player is left.
All right, I'm going to go with the last Cy Young Award winner I can think of, Gaylord Perry.
Gaylord Perry won the Cy Young for the Padres in 1978. But as I just said, Dave Winfield in 1979 was the first Padre to do this.
I was not listening.
It was a great guess, though.
I was not listening.
I would have guessed it. I would have guessed Gaylord Perry, but he did not get a 6.0 that season. So that is the first strike on the board.
Wow,
sorry about that, Scrape.
That fired on me.
Can you give me the rundown again of what's
yes,
left?
Yes, I can. Okay, I made a quick mistake there. There are three starting pitchers left, and there's
I
one.
I would have never guessed Gaylord Perry then.
Oh, if you'd have known, yeah. Three starting pitchers, one third baseman, one outfielder. Tony in a 6-6 tie with five correct answers left. What you got, Tony?
Ken Caminiti.
Ken Caminiti, I'm surprised you didn't get that one, Scrabe. MVP 1996 season.
That's pretty stupid.
He was incredible with the 7.6 that year. He had a 1028 OPS, which I don't believe has ever been topped by any Padre. And he was the MVP, and he was unanimous with all 28 votes that year. All right.
So no more third baseman.
No, there's one outfielder and three starting pitchers.
All right, got to cross that one off.
Outfielder, three starting pitchers. Scrabe, I don't want to lean you in the wrong direction, but I think the outfielder is the only one of these you could get. I'd be shocked if you got any of the three pitchers. So don't guess a pitcher that's
I'm going to guess
commonplace.
The outfielder.
All right, try the outfielder.
Ricky Henderson.
Oh, no. Ricky didn't do much. He wasn't that good when he was a Padre. That's incorrect.
It's all
sorry,
falling Scrabe.
Apart. Two strikes on Scraby. Give the buzzer.
It's all falling apart.
All right. I'm pretty sure Tony knows the outfielder, and if he doesn't, I'd be surprised. He could also go with any of the three pitchers.
I'm going to go with one of these pitchers.
All right. Right, who are you going with?
My favorite shirtless pitcher in the 80s, Mr. Ed Woodson.
Ed Woodson did do this. Believe it or not, the smoking cigarette right-hander had a 7.0. Now, I thought if Ed Woodson did it, he would have done it in 84 when the Padres went to the World Series, but he did not.
It was 90, wasn't it?
1990. He had a 7.0. Yeah. That year he won 14 ball games. Ed Woodson somewhere is having a cigarette on a porch, and God love him, he made the list
today. Living his best life.
That makes it 8-6. Scraby, the only way you can win now is to get all three of the remaining answers. It's pretty unlikely.
I'm just proud
you might
I
be
got
able to get the
point.
Outfielder. I'm proud that you did this well. Give me the outfielder. Come on.
See,
the
problem pretty unlikely.
The problem is I don't know where some of these guys played in the field. I don't know if they were outfielders or infielders. And I should know whether or not Greg Vaughn is an outfielder, but he hit 50 home runs. Go with him.
You're going with him, and that's a smart move, Scraby. That is correct.
Whoa!
Very good, Scrabe.
I thought he was a third baseman.
No, he wasn't. He was an outfielder. 6.3 in his 50 home run season of 1998. He finished fourth in the MVP balloting that year. That was the year that Sosa and McGuire had their home run contest, and Moises Alou finished ahead of him as well. So, it is 8-7. Tony can wrap it up here. There are two correct answers left. They're both pitchers. I'm pretty impressed already, Tony, that you got Ed Whitson. I'm going to be more impressed if you get one of these two.
I'm going to fall off to the Dave Roberts.
Yeah, that's I'm going
to
fall off
the same Dave
chair.
Roberts.
No, he's a pitcher. That Dave Roberts.
How did you know that? That is right. That wraps up the game. Dave Roberts.
I'm not offended that I lost this game.
You shouldn't be. I would have. There is no way on earth I would have guessed Dave Roberts, the left-handed pitcher, because I've never heard of him. And I've heard of everybody. As a matter of fact, when I saw the list, originally it said Dave Roberts. And I go, no, that's not the Dodger manager.
Yeah.
I said, but the Padres had a young third baseman in the early 70s who was really good named Dave Roberts. And I thought, man, he must have had a better season than I thought. I looked him up. It wasn't him. So then I'm like,
how many Dave Roberts are there?
Apparently there's at least three.
There's multiple.
In 1971.
The funny thing is, I only knew this because how often you have been, over the years, you have ranted about war.
Yes.
Yeah.
And going on the...
Baseball reference,
and you just kind of just playing around, and I saw Dave Roberts, and I was like, yo, what?
Yeah.
I don't remember Dave's year being that good, and then I clicked on a pitcher,
right.
And it was a white guy that was a left-handed pitcher. And yeah. So it just kind of stuck with me for a long time. And I had kind of forgot about it. And then you were kind of giving Scraby, you were razzing him a little bit about, there's one guy that none of you got. And then it came to me like, oh, I know who he's talking about. Boom.
That's who I was talking about. 1971 was the magic year for Dave Roberts. 14 wins, a 2.10 ERA. He finished sixth in the Cy Young balloting that year. Ferguson Jenkins, a Hall of Famer, won it. The only guy you didn't name doesn't mean you didn't know him. Tony, 1989 left-hander.
Mark Davis.
Bruce Hurst. Not Mark Davis, because, again, no relievers ever got a 6.0.
Right. Bruce Hurst.
Bruce Hurst was the last
guy. The Raiders owner?
Al Davis?
No, Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
I would have never gotten those.
All right, good fantabulous.
Good
Hope that
job,
brought back
Tony.
Some good memories for the Padre fans. Chris versus the fans is next.